Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
City manager to ask for Irvin investigation by Kim Smith. The battle between the Ector County Utility District and the city of Odessa is heating up, leaving the folks in West Texas in the middle. Last Tuesday, the Odessa City Council, without discussion, voted to start billing ECUD on a month-to-month basis, and ECUD has filed documents with the Texas Public Utilities Commission alleging wrongdoing by the city. The city of Odessa has had a contract with ECUD to provide the district with water since October 1976, and it's been amended several times, most recently in November 2020. While the contract remains in effect until 2049, the city is required to review the wholesale rate annually and revise it based on the city's audited financial statement from the previous year, adjusted for known and measurable changes. Although there were no discussions prior to last week's vote, materials supplied to the council in advance of the meeting indicate City Attorney Dan Jones wanted to begin charging ECUD month to month because he believes the water rate contract signed in 2020 is invalid. Jones did not indicate why he thought so, but according to emails obtained by the Odessa American through the Texas Public Information Act, he contends ECUD President Tommy Irvin cannot hold his seat because of drug felony convictions dating back to the 1970s. Insisted he was pardoned. The Texas Rangers declined to launch an investigation after Odessa Headlines publisher and Odessa Development Corporation Vice President Jeff Russell filed a complaint against him. The Rangers stated the merits of the allegation did not rise to a level of Texas Ranger investigative involvement. In an interview Friday, Irvin believes the city of Odessa is trying to harm his reputation because he has been consistently researching alternative water sources for West Odessans. If the alternative water sources decide not to deal with him, Irvin said the city believes they will continue to receive roughly $225,000 a month for water from ECUD and potentially benefit once Nacero's carbon capture plant becomes a reality in Pinwell. By the time Nacero is completely built out in 2033, it will require 8.7 million gallons of water a day, Irvin said. On Monday, Odessa City Manager John Beckmeyer refuted that idea. That allegation is without merit. I have no interest in discrediting anyone, only doing what's in the best interest of the citizens of the city of Odessa and West Odessa, Beckmeyer said. His primary concern is whether the contract between ECUD and the city is valid. He said he intends to ask Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan to get down to the bottom of Irvin's alleged pardon, Beckmeyer said. Some people are under the impression that we're out to get Tommy Irvin. We're really not. We just want to make sure that we have valid contracts, and it's not just us. It's anyone that had a contract with ECUD needs to make sure the contracts are really valid, Beckmeyer said. Gallivan said he does not know Tommy Irvin, but his office is not a law enforcement agency, and his office gets cases from law enforcement, and his job is to decide to prosecute or not. He said Beckmeyer is free to call him to discuss the matter. ECUD and the city have been battling over the last few years over how the city determines how much to charge ECUD, Irvin said. In fact, an email obtained by Odessa American indicates the city agreed to reimburse ECUD more than $1.9 million in March 2021 after ECUD disputed the way the city was billing them. Irvin said the money was then used to pay the city for several months' worth of water. The same issue arose again this year, but because certain city officials refused to believe he was pardoned, Irvin said he has not been able to get them to the table like an ECUD's lawyers did in 2021. According to a letter sent to the utilities director, Kevin Niles, on August 16th, ECUD alleges the city overcharged the district $169,360 in FY21, $37,230 in FY22, and $111,000 as of August of this year. August 21st, Mayor Javier Hoven responded with an email to Beckmeyer, Deputy City Manager Agapito Bernal, Jones, and Niles with the following. ECUD negotiated those rates and were SIC, not adjusting a thing. Also, we as a city cannot negotiate or respond to Mr. Irvin until ECUD resolves the board president issue. It's been a year. In September, Jones and ECUD attorney Randall Wilburn exchanged a few letters with Jones saying Irvin should be able to produce a pardon or clemency, and since he has not, one must accept the fact that he remains a convicted felon in the state of Texas. Wilburn noted the allegations about Irvin had been put to rest by the Texas Rangers and the Texas Attorney General. He further wrote that the city has failed to provide the data and calculations supporting the rates charged. In one letter, Jones wrote, "It is imperative that ECUD not withhold payment, otherwise ECUD will place its customers in jeopardy of losing their water." During the telephone interview Monday, Beckmeyer said, "We've never threatened or ever intend to cut off anyone's water. That's just not even a question." Despite the city's utility department's inability to show its work regarding its rate calculations, the district obtained the data required to calculate the rates charged, Wilburn wrote. The city's own data shows the city miscalculated the rates charged the district, Wilburn wrote. He also said ECUD was willing to sit down with the city to go over the calculations since the city has lost several key employees and likely does not have any current staff with knowledge of how to calculate the rate. The formula being used was laid out in the ECUD contract, and NewGen Strategies verified it was being used properly, Beckmeyer said. We went out to a third party and we got them to refigure, because the last thing you want to do is have a situation where you're overbilling and underfunding for multiple reasons. One is it's hard to refund money because it's generally already been spent, and another is it's not fair, Beckmeyer said. The third party actually verified that our billings were correct based on the formula that we laid out, and he said, hey, we don't believe that we owe this money. Irvin said Friday there are laws that prohibit city from shutting off ECUD's customers' water, so West Odessans need not fear that possibility. As for resolving the dispute, Irvin said ECUD is filing a petition with the Public Utility Commission of Texas to appeal the water rates imposed by the city. I've been wanting to go to the PUC for a couple of years or more, but it's finally gotten to the point where the board said, Tommy, you're going to get your way. You can go to the PUC, Irvin said. According to the petition, the city is supposed to base the rates on the city's audited financial statement from the previous year, adjusted for known and measurable changes, but it does not. Instead, the petition states the city uses inflated budget numbers not adjusted to actual cost for calculating the rates in violation of the agreement. The petition states the water rates of the city are neither just nor reasonable, and are in fact discriminatory because they are not based upon the actual cost of providing service to ECUD. The petitioner is willing and able to pay a just and reasonable rate for that water, the petition stated. Wilburn, ECUD's attorney, is also asking the commission to set interim rates until the situation is resolved. Failure to do so, he wrote, could result in an unreasonable economic hardship on ECUD. I don't believe the city is under the PC, but we'll work that out, Beckmeyer said. The contract issue needs to be addressed before anything else, Beckmeyer said. We need to make sure that we're not getting the horse in front of the cart. We don't have a valid contract, and we don't have a formula, and we don't have stipulations on what the formula should be, he said. Beckmeyer said a Texas Court of Criminal Appeals rendered a decision last year stating that AG's office cannot investigate election violations because of the separation of powers. He believes Irvin not only can't hold office, but he has violated the law during the application process. It was a made-up application that he made himself. The application only has 3 of the 10 or 12 items on it that has to be on it, Beckmeyer said. Whenever you create an application for a filing, and this is whether it's state, local, county, anytime it falls under election code, that application becomes a government document, and so there could really be some more problems with this than just him being a convicted felon. Modifying a government document inaccurately can rise to a pretty severe charge, he said. I want to make sure we have somebody elected that can actually sign documents, Beckmeyer said. He'll be reaching out to Gallivan on the matter soon. The city has been spending a lot of time on the budget, so it hasn't been a priority, he said. I wouldn't want to say hope, but it would be what I would prefer, is the district attorney would actually look into this, and if there's a relationship there between Mr. Irvin and the district attorney, it would be better if he did recuse himself and appoint somebody, whether it's deputizing somebody from the attorney general's office. He can reach out to other entities too, Beckmeyer said. Irvin said he's 100% positive ECUD will emerge victorious, or else he wouldn't have pushed for the petition. They're going to have to prove their worksheet to the PUC, Irvin said. Hopefully it will be resolved once and for all, he said. We can't go through this crap every time there's a regimen change, Irvin said. Irvin also confirmed City Councilwoman Denise Swenner last year applied for ECUD's director position, but ECUD hired former Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes. He has spent more than $4,000 on an attorney to find the documents he needs to prove he was pardoned, but the records are missing, he said. The state of Texas simply had poor record-keeping policies back then, he said. There's not even a login book to show you applied to the parole and pardons board, Irvin said. His past wasn't an issue until a year and a half ago, and in all of the years since his arrest, he's worked hard for his community, Irvin said. Even if he were to leave ECUD, Irvin said he would continue to look for alternative sources of water for West Odessa. No one at City Hall knows him or what his goals are for West Odessa, Irvin said. My goal is to make sure West Odessans get a quantity and quality of water for years and years to come, Irvin said. As for the Nacero plant, why can't the city partner up with ECUD instead of trying to wipe us all off the face of the earth, Irvin asked.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, September 30th. The next Permian Basin is still right here. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. As the Permian's unconventional shale play matures and output flattens, producers are looking for the next Permian Basin to provide fuel supplies to a demanding globe. Quote, "Where is the next Permian Basin? I think we're standing on top of it," said Clay Gaspar, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Devon Energy. He was addressing the issue during his keynote luncheon speech at the Society of Petroleum Engineers Permian Basin Energy Conference this week. "The Permian Basin can be the next Permian Basin through improved recovery, thoughtful and measured appraisal work, technological advancements and redevelopment, refracts, and enhanced oil recovery," Gaspar said. "For all the talk of alternative and renewable energy and a fossil fuel-free future," he pointed out that global demand for coal, oil, and natural gas are at all-time highs. "Energy demand is not going away," Gaspar told his audience. "It is incredibly high, and as the world heads to a population of 10 billion, he predicted it will go even higher. New technology will also drive demand." Quote, "Artificial intelligence is an energy hog, and it's only in its infancy," he said. "How does supply meet that demand?" he asked. "It's up to the people in this room and rooms like this to figure that out. We have to figure out how to meet demand with supply," end quote. He compared energy demand today to projected demand in 2030, when demand is up 7% and crude and natural gas comprise 55% of the energy mix. He also compared energy demand today to projected demand in 2050, when demand is up 14% and oil and natural gas comprise 54% of the energy mix. Gaspar said it is projected $5 trillion in capital will need to be spent between 2023 and 2030 on oil and natural gas development projects. To meet demand with supply, he said $600 billion will need to be spent annually, up from the current $450 billion the industry currently spends a year. The Permian Basin dominates with crude reserves, holding an estimated 100 billion to 250 billion barrels of oil equivalent, according to Gaspar. By comparison, the Eagle Ford and Anadarko Basin each hold an estimated 20 billion to 60 billion barrels, while the Bakken holds 20 billion to 40 billion barrels. The Marcellus Utica play holds 600 trillion to 900 trillion cubic feet equivalent of natural gas. Unlocking those reserves to meet global demand includes rethinking spacing and sequencing, looking at skinnier zones, and advanced geomechanics and geochemicals. Quote, how you get unmovable hydrocarbons to move, end quote. Also part of those efforts will be environmental and ESG, environment, social, and governance standards, he said. Quote, incorporating best practices while still pursuing more supply, he said, meeting that challenge is key, end quote. Gaspar told the gathering he is excited about the big changes ahead for the industry. He urged his audience to inject fundamentals back into their efforts. Quote, think about recovery factor and how that can change the game, he said. Fundamentals are how we really change the game, end quote. Sharing those best practices and asking outside-the-box questions, questioning assumptions in gatherings like the one he addressed, are the future of more energy supply, Gaspar concluded. Quote, it's amazing to me how communal this industry is, how much we share. The world needs more energy, and we are here to deliver, end quote. TXOGA analysis finds Texas output hits record highs. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Drillers may be laying rigs across the state amid a national drilling slump, but Texas oil, natural gas, and natural gas liquids are still reaching record highs. An analysis from the Texas Oil and Gas Association found Texas oil production reached a record 5.7 million barrels of oil per day in August. At the same time, natural gas marketed production reached 34.1 billion cubic feet per day of gross withdrawals, including 30.9 BCF per day of marketed production, 26.3 BCF of dry gas production, and 3.2 million barrels a day of natural gas liquids. Quote, Texas's oil and natural gas production has remained strong thanks to productivity gains as well as the inventory of wells that have been drilled but not yet completed, also known as DUCs. Dean Foreman, chief economist at TXOGA, told the Reporter Telegram by email. He noted that the rig productivity has recently increased across every producing region of Texas per estimates by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the EIA. Between April and September, EIA estimates the total oil and natural gas production per rig increased by 2.4% in the Permian Basin, 3.5% in the Eagle Ford, 5.0% in the Haynesville, and 8.2% in the Anadarko Basin. Quote, furthermore, the industry has utilized its DUCs well inventory this year. DUCs accounted for 329 newly completed wells, or 5.6% of total well completions across Texas basins year-to-date through August per EIA. The entity also estimates that the industry held another roughly 2,800 DUCs in inventory as of August 2023, so these wells could contribute to prospective growth, he wrote. Asked about the impact of the recent rise in crude prices on drilling activity, Foreman answered that oil and natural gas drilling activity has historically responded directly to oil prices. Quote, however, this responsiveness has changed in recent years due to a combination of companies prudently living within their means, higher interest rates, and consequently debt costs and continued cost escalation related partly to workforce limitations since the pandemic, he wrote. Looking ahead, Foreman wrote, quote, new Texas production records are likely given productivity gains and the inventory of DUCs, which are a relatively fast and economic means by which industry activity can respond to recently increased prices. If future prices further reinforce drilling activity in Texas, the industry is well positioned to continue to grow and lead U.S. production, end quote. In other findings from the analysis, in June, Texas refineries, one, processed crude oil net inputs of 5.5 MB per day, two, exported 3.5 MB per day of crude oil and condensate, plus another 2.3 MB per day of refined products, and three, directly utilize 3.0 MB per day of natural gas liquids, NGLs, that were produced in the state. Texas exported more than $107 billion of energy products in the first half of 2023, one-third of which went to Europe, about one-quarter each to the Asia-Pacific and Latin America and Caribbean regions, and 17% to Mexico and Canada. Texas's natural gas net exports included 6.1 BCF per day to Mexico via pipeline and 11.3 BCF per day via LNG. Texas crude oil exports brought $49.3 billion, refined petroleum products $33 billion, natural gas, pipeline, and LNG, $11.1 billion, hydrocarbon gas liquids, $131.8 billion. Milestone Carbon details plans for Midland Basin CCS Hub. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. One of the state's first carbon sequestration hubs is planned for the Midland Basin. Milestone Carbon, a subsidiary of Milestone Environmental Services, announced plans for the CO2 sequestration hub in the southwestern Midland Basin. The company has acquired rights to more than 10,000 acres of land and pore space in Midland and Upton counties for the permanent storage of CO2. Quote, we spent the last 18 months talking with different landowners, and there was strong interest in this area to do that, said Chris Davis, Senior Vice President, Milestone Carbon. Continuing the quote, we've been piecing together acreage. The geology has a good story, is permeable, secure. There's a lot of great data supporting sequestration. It's far from existing production in deep, deep aquifers that can only be used for disposal, end quote. The acreage is also close to gas processing plants where CO2 is separated from the natural gas to make it marketable, giving processors a solution to their emissions needs, he added. It would be a matter of installing compression and piping to move that CO2 from the processing plants to Milestone's hub, he said. Quote, our production in the Permian Basin in terms of carbon intensity should be more competitive internationally, he said. The other piece is what I talk to local leaders and organizations about, and that is, this is a signal to more businesses to bring in new talent, bring in new technology, bring in new investment, end quote. He ticked off manufacturers of ammonia or hydrogen as examples, or new natural gas-fired power generation plants, all of whom look for permitted hubs and seeking locations for their operations. The company recently received a Class II injection well permit from the Railroad Commission, allowing for the sequestration of CO2 from local natural gas processors. Milestone has also submitted a Class VI injection well permit application to the Environmental Protection Agency, which has confirmed it is administratively complete. This permit would increase the sequestration capacity and allow Milestone to inject CO2 from other industrial sources, supporting Permian Basin decarbonization efforts. Federal tax incentives, including some contained in last year's Inflation Reduction Act, have boosted efforts to develop carbon sequestration hubs, Davis said. He noted the company was already in the process of building its land position, but the IRA lets more industries participate. Quote, "What I'm excited about is the prospect of attracting new industries," he said. "We're spending time talking with developers," end quote. The company estimates the Midland Basin hub should have sufficient capacity to store approximately 30 million metric tons of CO2 over its lifespan, which is roughly the equivalent of the annual carbon emissions from 6.5 million passenger cars and trucks. And the company is not stopping with the Midland Basin. Davis said Milestone is evaluating sites for a hub in the Delaware Basin as well as in southeastern Louisiana. Quote, "The Permian Basin is among the leaders in transporting and injecting CO2, he said. It's probably the most experienced region in the world," end quote. Fed Energy Survey shows modest activity increase. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Rising crude oil prices since June seem to buoy the spirits of Texas oil and gas executives. Participants in the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas's third quarter energy survey indicated improved business sentiment and increased business activity. Quote, "The key point is sentiment improved on the back of rising oil prices and activity improved, albeit at a modest pace," said Kunal Patel, senior business economist with the bank, during a media briefing on the survey results. He stressed that business activity has been growing modestly while industry employment continued to expand, but is slowing to a crawl amid a falling rig count. The aggregate employment index grew for an 11th consecutive quarter, but sank from 13.1 in the second quarter to 5.5 in the third quarter. Quote, "A number of respondents talked about a labor shortage, but believe that will catch up as the rig count declines," he said. Approximately 84% of respondents expect the U.S. rig count to be near current levels 6 months from now, while 14% expect the count to be much higher, and 1% expect the count to be much lower. Costs continue to be a concern, with both exploration and production and service companies reporting rising costs for an 11th consecutive quarter. Exploration and production firms were asked about their expectations for drilling and completion costs per well in 2024 compared to 2023, and 60% of all respondents expect costs to be higher, 18% expect costs to be lower, and 21% expect no change. More executives from small E&P firms, those producing fewer than 10,000 barrels a day, expected higher costs, while executives from large firms were more likely to expect a decrease in costs. Patel attributed that to larger companies having the ability to leverage their larger scale to lower costs. Service firms reported continued difficulties. Equipment utilization improved from the second quarter, but remained negative while the operating margin index declined and the index of prices received was relatively unchanged. Production growth increased at a faster pace compared to the second quarter, but remains at a pace that's slower than in recent years, Patel said. The oil production index increased from 8 to 26.5, while the natural gas production index rose from 2.1 to 15.4 in the third quarter. The business activity index, the survey's broadest measure of conditions energy firms face, jumped from 0 in the second quarter to 22.5 in the third quarter, although the index for service firms fell from a positive 1.9 to a negative 12.2. The company outlook index moved into positive territory, rising a negative 9.1 to a positive 36 in the third quarter, dominated by optimism in the E&P sector.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.